Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We begin the hour with Moment in Sound, and we welcome to the studio a real-life guitar hero. Matthew Curry plays Jazz Fest tonight in Sioux Falls. You can see him on the main stage at around 8:30. He's opening for Robert Cray. He's also opened for or played with the Steve Miller Band, the Doobie Brothers' Peter Frampton. It was Frampton who called Curry a guitar hero. Steve Miller compared his virtuosity to Stevie Ray Vaughan. Matthew Curry is with us live at the studios at SDPB at USF in Sioux Falls. Welcome, Matthew.
Well, thanks for putting up with us this morning.
Also with us, we have Mike Nellis, who is in the band. Welcome, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lori.
All right, so let's just start with being compared to Stevie Ray Vaughan and being declared a hero at the age of 22 by these greats, opening for Robert Cray, opening for others. How does that feel for you just to sort of have those kind of, labels attached to your name?
Well, it's quite an honor, especially coming from people like Peter Frampton or Steve Miller, but I don't know about the whole guitar hero thing. I also think that there's never going to be anybody to come close to, Stevie Ray. But it's very nice of them to say, and they're all extremely good-hearted people and right. Really nice guys. So,
but they're trying to say something that will help people sit up and listen and notice and sort of say the era of this really incredible musicality is not past, and it's alive and well, and here's someone you should look at. That's kind of what they're doing. They're getting the attention of listeners to say, okay, you'll pay attention to this name. Now I want you to pay attention to this other name, too.
I think so, and that's really, awesome of them to do, because obviously, we're in a time where guitar or I guess even rock and roll or blues-based rock and roll is what we play is not in the mainstream or is not being paid attention to by, everybody. So it's very nice of them to do that and try to, express their voice and care for guitar-based music or rock and roll and stuff like that. So,
talk to me about opening for someone like that, and the crowd is sort of coming in, they're in a good mood, how do you engage an audience and really kind of use that opportunity to convert some new fans?
Well, it's really been like I said, quite an honor, but it's actually really helped, being able to open for people like that. As we were discussing earlier before we were on the air, we played Brookings with the Steve Miller Band, and he was very generous in promoting myself and the band, and here we are, we're, back in the area, so hopefully we'll see some familiar faces that we've seen at that show, and hopefully we'll continue to come back as long as South Dakota's willing to put up with us.
I have a feeling that they will be. And tonight, again, it's Jazz Fest. It's over at Yankton Trails Park in Sioux Falls. If you've never been there, tonight's an awfully good night to check it out. 8:30, you can see Matthew Curry and his band. They're opening up for Robert Cray. And all morning as they've been doing sound checks, I've had to tell them to be quiet for a minute. So they're just itching to play. And so let's go ahead and hear something. You want to set anything up or you just want to start playing?
Well, we'll do, this is a new original that I co-wrote with a frequent collaborator, songwriter, friend of mine. From where I'm from, excuse me, and this is a song that we wrote about living in the Midwest. I suppose Sioux Falls is considered in
yes.
the Midwest, right?
Yeah, right.
So hopefully the listeners will be able to relate to this one. So it's called The Great Midwest.
Matthew Curry on Moment in Sound.
As the sun hits the horizon and yields the light of the moon, my mind takes me back in time to a lazy afternoon on the banks of the Mackinac
Here's I threw in the line. Almost heard my daddy call. Son, you get back sometime to the great Midwest, where things seem real. The great Midwest, far from concrete and steel. To the great Midwest, where I let my soul heal. In the great Midwest, out here there's troubled times, so many troubled places. I've heard my share of come on lines from lonely empty faces. Long to get back in time. The harvest moon is calling me home. Back to the 30, back to the 309. The great Midwest, where things seem real. Great Midwest, far from concrete and steel. To the great Midwest, where I let my soul heal. In the great Midwest. As the sun hits the horizon and yields the light of the moon, my mind takes me back in time to a lazy afternoon.
You're listening to Matthew Curry on Moment in Sound, South Dakota Public Broadcasting Radio. They're going to be at Jazz Fest tonight, playing at about 8:30 on the main stage, opening up for Robert Cray. And Matthew, let's talk about your dad a little bit. There was I don't know if he was in that song, but it reminded me of the relationship. You started playing pretty young and kind of watching at his feet. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I started about 4 years old playing guitar due to, I remember being younger than that. And, of course, you know, at that age, you got a bedtime, you know, you need to be in bed by, you know, 8 or 8:30 or whatever. And so laying there, and about that time, he would be sitting in the living room. He had this beautiful, I can't remember the exact model, I think it was a D-28 or some, a very beautiful Martin guitar. And he would just you know, play, you know, like James Taylor stuff or anywhere from that to, you know, obviously blues stuff or ZZ Top, and just kind of just noodle on his acoustic. And I would just lay there just hearing it from the living room, or from my bedroom, the sound coming from the living room, like, oh, just, wow, this is so cool. And so I think him and my mom took notice that I was interested, and they bought me a little... it was a First Act. I think they probably still sell these little guitars at Walmart and stuff. As you know, a miniature, you know, kind of scaled down acoustic guitar. And I got it one year for it was either birthday or Christmas or something when I was 4, and started playing. My dad was left-handed like me, but played right-handed, as many people do. But he handed me the guitar right-handed. The first thing I did was flip it upside down, just because it felt natural to me. And he was like, no, you need to play this way. And I couldn't. So he had to, you know, thankfully I had him to, you know, restring it upside down for me. And but I started learning from him, you know, basic chords and stuff like that, and basic kind of pentatonic scales and blues stuff from him. And and then took lessons till I was about 10 or 11, I think. And then kind of tried to just learn by ear from there. But he was I owe everything to him. He was, you know, the one that turned me on to music. And and the right music, I think, and kind of gave me the building blocks to be lucky enough to do what we're doing today. So.
Did he sort of curate the kind of music that you were exposed to? Did he try to control it, or did he let you find your own way in what you enjoyed listening to?
He definitely let me find my own way. He was more of a teacher as far as that goes, I think, you know, because, I mean, I was first exposed to, like, Hendrix and Eric Clapton and all this kind of psychedelic 60s blues stuff. And then he was like, well, if you like this, then, you know, you need to listen to Muddy Waters and John Lee Hooker and stuff like that, because that's where it comes from, you know.
I'm just curious, how does that, having that kind of... that kind of relationship or that sort of thing to hang a relationship on, plus just being father and son growing up, your teenage years, the years that you know, you can't agree with everything, you know, father and son, parent
almost
and child,
nothing.
Right? So how did having that to sort of center on change your relationship as you grew up, the sort of normal American teenage relationship with a father?
It made it a little tough at times, obviously, because... he was a lot more wise and had obviously been on the earth a lot longer than I had. And he would try to give me advice about certain things, and I would immediately, you know, turn it down. And looking back, I was totally wrong and he was totally right. And I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Is he still alive?
No, he passed in 2012.
Did you ever get to tell him that he was right about things?
Unfortunately, I didn't. No, it was a pretty sudden thing, so it, unfortunately, I didn't.
How much did
but
he...
But I'm sure he knew that he was right.
he
made it very clear that he knew.
Did he get to hear you play? Did he get to hear you, you know, kind of come into your own as a musician? Did he know where you were going, do you think?
I like to think so. He was kind of the one that... even said, you know, maybe you should get away from guitar lessons and just start listening to stuff and figuring stuff out by yourself. So I'd like to think so, but...
That's gutsy advice.
Well, I think he knew that I didn't want to learn how to read music and play, you know, classical stuff and some of the things that they were trying to teach me. I liked Jimi Hendrix and ZZ Top and stuff like that. And, you know, the Allman Brothers, so...
So were you okay with that at that point, just walking away from the lessons and saying, yeah, I'm ready to do what... find what I need to find next on my own?
I was miserable in guitar lessons.
Yeah.
There was one teacher that I did have that taught me a lot and was totally a rock and roll guy and, well, and a jazz guy and a blues guy and everything, but he taught me the most about, you know, playing guitar.
Right.
But around the time that I quit lessons, I was just starting to dabble and kind of wanting to write my own stuff. And obviously I wasn't very good. I still don't think I am, but, so I was more interested in trying to figure that kind of side of things out, maybe try to sing a little bit and not just be a guitar player.
Right. You know? So Mike Nellis is in the studio with us. He doesn't have the greatest mic setup, but I'm going to make him lean in because I want somebody who's not Matthew Curry to tell me about Matthew Curry. And
uh-oh.
You play with him. He's really humble, obviously. And if, so you could just kind of lean into that mic and tell me a little bit something about what it's like to sort of watch him play on stage from your perspective as you play with him.
It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of interaction that goes on with Matthew from all members of the band, whether you're the drummer or the bass player or the guitar player like me, because there's a lot of nonverbal, it's musical communication. So he can really dictate where he's going and kind of where he wants you to go as well. So, and he's constantly smiling and having a good time. So it's very infective. It's a great feeling.
I don't want to make too much of his age, but he's 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that before?
Not quite like this, no.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's amazing.
You're having fun on stage every night, Matthew. This is fun for you, right?
Oh, I mean,
it's
of
a job,
course.
It's work, but you're having a good time.
Well, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. But that was very nice of Mike to say. We all do all of us are usually smiling on stage.
I want my $5 back.
Okay, well.
Tell me about the band.
That's not what I told you to say, Mike.
Tell me a little bit about the band, then, and we'll play another song here in a minute. What's it like to work with this group of guys?
Well, it's by far the best group of musicians I've ever worked with, and I feel very honored and lucky, and I've learned a lot from each person in the band individually. Not only about music, but even just certain things in life as well. I've learned a lot about guitar playing, certain ways of guitar playing, and harmonies and stuff from Mike that I had no idea existed when Mike first, or before Mike had joined the band. We have Tim Brickner on bass. He's just a monster player, really tasteful, really cares and thinks about, you know, every note that he plays. Mm. And as well, him and Mike are singing a lot of harmony parts with me, and they're both incredible singers. And then we have Francis Valentino on the drums, who is also sitting here in the studio with us. But Francis is the newest member of the band. He's been, what about 2 years now going on? It was actually, there's a little bit of a story behind it. I was looking for a drummer at the time, you know. We were, the previous guy had just quit, he had had, you know, wife and kids, so that's understandable, he couldn't, you know, be out on the road with us. And the management company that I had just hooked up with at the time was like, well, you know, I know this guy, he's from New Jersey, fly him in and see what you think. And I'm thinking like, oh man, I have no idea what's going to happen, you know, I gotta go pick this guy up at the Chicago airport, we're living in, and we're based in Bloomington, Illinois. And so I go to pick him up thinking like, For all I know, this guy could, like, hold me up, you know, or something on the way. I've never Stranger. Done this before. Just never met anybody and then brought him into the band. And he came into the audition and just absolutely blew us all away. So we all immediately knew that we got to have this guy in the band. And so, like I said, I feel very honored and lucky to be working with the guys that I'm working with. And we all have a lot of fun at live shows, and some of the banter that goes on in the band van is, I won't repeat any of it, but...
not cleared for broadcast, you know, the band van.
You know, I usually come off tour with my cheeks hurting from laughing so much and having so much fun, and not only musically, but just hanging out with these guys. You know, we're all great friends, and so, you know, like I said, I feel very honored and lucky to be working with them.
All right. What do you want to play next for us?
We're going to do the title track off my latest album. It's a song called Shine On. Right? When it seems there's no end to your trouble, my friend, shine on. When the load seems too great and you suffer the weight, shine on. Just look to the sky. Stop wondering why. Well, you've got to shine on, 'cause there's no expectation of endless salvation. So you've got to shine on like a beacon of light in a big endless storm. Like the sun up above, so safe and so warm. Hold your brothers and sisters in the dark before the dawn. You've given the chance to give in. Whoa, 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 shine on. Thank you.
for no one, so don't leave things undone. Where you shine on, yeah, it won't last forever. Let's all come together. Whoa, and shine on. When your brother can't stand, just hold out your hand. Yeah, you shine on. Cause if there's one thing I know, oh, you reap what you sow. So you've got to shine on like a beacon of light in a big endless storm, like the sun up above, so safe and so warm. Hold your brothers and sisters in the dark before the dawn, if given the chance to give in. Whoa, whoa, yeah, shine on. Like a beacon of light in a big endless storm, like the sun up above, so safe and so warm. Hold your brothers and sisters in the dark before the dawn, if given the chance to give in. Hey, shine on.
And smiles all around. Matthew Curry, thank you so much for being here. Mike Nellis, thanks.